Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Welcome everybody to Wrestling to the Max's Raw review for December 19th, 2016 edition. And we are here to get ready and talk some Monday Night Raw, the Raw following all that great stuff or bad stuff, however you want to say it, from Roadblock, end of the line. That's right, this is all the fallout, so we'll get into all that plus more. But hey, guess what? If you want to go find more content from us, go check out W2Mnet.com. That's the place where you can go read all the written reviews and, of course, some great columns and all just everything great about this show and a lot more. So go check out W2Mnet.com. Also, go subscribe to the W2M Network if you haven't already. And, of course, you know, we want you guys to know also there's a Facebook group associated to Wrestling to the Max. Go check out that group on Facebook. It is Wrestling to the Max. That easy. Go join up. Anyway, we are going to talk Raw. Let's go ahead and do it now.
Wow, almost started talking without, I had the studio on mute, and almost started talking, that would have been bad. So, Raw, of course, started off with that Jericho and Kevin Owens segment, with, where Jericho basically, talks about, him and Owens had problems with their friendship. Kevin Owens never doubted it, and they stand together tonight. And Jericho even says that Codebreaker hurt me more than it hurt you, Kevin Owens. Oh God. So we even get a Santa is stupid comment and. Mick Foley coming out, who has apparently lost 100 pounds since being with WWE again, so that's good for Mick Foley. Great for his health. And now we all of a sudden decide that we're going to use Paul Ellering's shark cage again. So that's a thing. Basically, Mick Foley tricks Jericho into getting into the cage. Hilarity ensues as Jericho just constantly says, "Hey, Foley, get me out of the cage. Get me out of the cage." And Foley forgot the key, so now Jericho is locked in the cage. I mean, this was fun and kind of continues to tell that story about their friendship or whatever, so I'm fine with it.
You know what? It was a fun way to start the show. Everybody's wondering about the relationship and all that. And so, of course, this is the way you need to start things anyway. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was funny. It was comical. I love the little jokes that they were making about, like, you know, the cage not being made well because it was made in Ohio, things like that. You know, you did have Mick Foley flub on the mic. You know, he did say he was in Pittsburgh. Nope, he was not. He was in Columbus, Ohio. So, you know, Mick Foley's still having his little moments of, you know, hey, I'm a little lost. But anyway, at the end of the day, he didn't do too bad. So, hey, this is cool. You know, you get a little comedy. I think this was all about. That's what these two guys do well together. And then, of course, they had some extra stuff, you know, with, of course, with, you know, coming back from the commercial break, it's showing, you know, Jericho, like, hyperventilating, acting like he needed air because he was just so traumatized from being up in that cage for so long and being so high up there he couldn't breathe. It was silly, but, you know, I just love these two guys, so I had no problems with any of it.
Yeah, I thought this was fine, too. And, you know, Mick Foley, he's been lost in Ohio before, Gary. It didn't end well for him.
Poor Mick. You just got to feel bad. He's getting old.
Yeah, certainly. He's getting there, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, we got to love that shirt, though. Do you like that shirt, Sean? That Christmas shirt that he wore?
Yeah.
So, a little crazy.
It works for Mick Foley.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want to wear it. Mick Foley totally works for him.
Yeah.
This, apparently, I don't know why did they have any kind of, oh, this is based off of last night. Never mind. Sorry. I totally blanked that they had that stupid part after Roadblock, end of the line, where they had to waste the last 10 minutes of the show with a Shield powerbomb or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it led to this tag match that was basically set up from last night with Jericho and Owens against Reigns and Seth Rollins. Basically, you know, Reigns and Rollins got to show that, hey, they've been a tag team together before, winning tag titles, of course. The fans still did the whole booing Reigns and sort of cheering Rollins. I think it was hurting Rollins more than anything else, but, you know. They're not going to care that Reigns is a heat magnet. They just want to shove Reigns down your throat some more. That's fine. So, basically, we were going to have a finish, but Braun Strowman said, you know what? I said or else, so fuck you. And this match is not happening. He went and attacked Roman Reigns for the DQ. So, I guess let's attack Roman Reigns so that we can get people cheering for Braun Strowman in the end. Because you know it's just going to happen. People are going to cheer for Strowman.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course they are. Especially when they are, you know, having one of the guys is being, like we say all the time, shoved down their throats, being crushed and
not
to destroyed.
Mention, I think Strowman looks cooler than Roman right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, Paul, but I mean, I'm way more invested in what Braun Strowman's doing. I mean, this almost the entire episode was based on him tonight, besides this whole other storyline.
I love the fact that he just took out Titus O'Neil and Sin Cara in like 2 seconds. That was great. We didn't even see that match. Like,
Sin Cara was just totally destroyed. You're right about it. And Titus, this is a big guy. And Braun Strowman made him look like he was throwing around Heath Slater. I mean, he was everywhere. So, I mean, Braun Strowman was picking up everybody in the back, throwing them. I mean, this was just about him having a rampage. And I loved that it went into the main event. A lot of times they'll have guys go on rampages and it's just kind of in somewhere in the second hour, even if it's like towards the third. No, this went all the way to the very end. And so that's what I appreciated. And Braun Strowman looked like $1 million at the end of this. So, I thought it was smart.
I mean, he looks super duper dangerous at the end of this show. He's standing tall. He's wrecking shop no matter where the camera goes, pretty much. And I mean, when was the last time they really got behind a big monster heel like this? I don't think it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, even Big Show didn't get this. Mm-hmm. From what, you know, maybe at one time he, you know, took out like 3 or 4 guys, but not like this. And, I mean, it was just a path of destruction. I mean, the last time you could say that someone did this kind of damage, maybe Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, with the Rumble around the corner, too, that's this guy could be scary going into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's what they want to do is obviously people are going to have that thought of Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, some other guys, but I think you do need to have other people that are contenders in this Royal Rumble, because, you know, you don't want to just have the usual suspects, or especially since, you know, you're going to have a guy like AJ Styles probably be champion going in there. You're going to have, you know, you already have Kevin Owens not going to be in the match. So, yeah, Roman is going to be a contender there as well. But still, I think you want to establish more guys, because it's more fun when it's more up in the air who could win. So moving on from here, I think you guys mentioned the whole. This was a. I love that fact too. That they this was a throughout the night thing for Strowman. So let's see what they do next week. He wants Sami Zayn, but Foley sent him home early. Let's see if we get another Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman thing in the build-up here, or if they're going to kind of try to keep them apart for a little bit, because we do got a number of WWE's going to be coasting, at least for this week coming up, because of it being, you know, that week that they think nobody's going to care, because it's, you know, just come off of Christmas, going to go into New Year's kind of thing. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see what we get next week. But they did have a rematch between Cass and Rusev, where Cass basically kicked so much ass they just gave him a DQ. Not a whole lot there, really. The more thing that was going on with that was that you had backstage segments where you had this sort of almost like, I want to say, like a, you know, addicts, you know, like an AA meeting happening between a bunch of jobbers and Enzo. And it even led to Enzo and Jinder Mahal getting into it in the last segment with, you know, Jinder basically calling Enzo out for who Enzo is, and then Enzo having something back to say, and then not to mention Lana coming in and slapping the crap out of him too. So, you know, Enzo is now in that territory where I guess we can just make him be a comedy character. I don't know. I don't really know how this really helps Enzo, but I think we're in that territory where Vince just doesn't see much with Enzo as far as wrestling goes, so let's do something else with him.
You know what? That's not such a bad thing if you ask me, though. I mean, yes, I get it. You want him to be respected as a wrestler, and I think to an extent he will be. But you got to think of other guys, and I've heard this comparison, and it's not, I'm not the first person to compare these guys, okay? So I'm not taking credit for that. But I do agree with the assessment of, you think of a Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. And, you know, Road Dogg was never going to be the best wrestler on any, you know, roster, probably. He was good. He was a great talent. But he was not made to be the best wrestler. And I think the same goes for Enzo. You know, Enzo's a good little wrestler. He does fine. But his charisma, what he brings to the table with all that, it matters. And it's going to sell merchandise. It's going to get people to watch the show. I think what he did in this meeting, the sensitivity training that they had here with him, was hilarious. I think it worked. It had pizzazz. I mean, I just think all the way around, Enzo is an entertainer. And what is this? This is a World Wrestling Entertainment, right? So it matches him perfectly. And, you know, he doesn't have to be the biggest star, but if he's a draw, he wants people watching. Kids are going to love him. Adults love all the innuendos. Come on, trust me. So I think this guy's right in the right place. This is a great episode for him. Lately, I have not been a big fan of the whole Rusev and thing, because it was okay, but it was getting a little too much, and he was kind of being the heel. In this case, he's kind of the baby face now. He's kind of the, you know, you feel a little bad for him. He's misunderstood, but he's hilarious. So I think it worked great. Yeah, I think this is something I think we could all sort of see happening. Enzo, he's an okay wrestler. He can get the job done. He knows how to take a bump well, which I think is what really helps, is that whenever a heel team really works the heat on him, it's very effective. But Cass is the wrestler. But at that same time, you can't really take one away from the other because they sort of complete each other, and that's what makes them work so well. I thought all their stuff together tonight, though, was really funny. And this is sort of where they shine, I think, best, is in these sort of segments where they get to go out there and just sort of be the characters that they've created. And, I mean, Enzo was on point the whole night for me, so.
Yep. I mean, like I said, I hate seeing this for Enzo, but you guys are right. I mean, he's so small, he's probably not going to get thought of in the same way. It's going to be hard for... He's never really going to be able to be a singles wrestler. So unless you put him in the... I guess you can put him in the 205 Live if you want, down the line. But... You know, I don't know that we're going to be seeing him go for the U.S. title or whatever. Certainly, probably not. So, all right. After this, I think we also had some, speaking of 205 Live, we had several 205 Live segments. We're continuing with this Noam Dar and Cedric Alexander fight over Alicia Fox thing. Dar goes up top, misses, and then Cedric Alexander hits the lumbar check to the light of Alicia Fox. You know, Dar is sort of an asshole, so I guess this storyline, I guess, sort of works with him. But he's also being super creepy, saying that all he wants for Christmas is Alicia Fox. Well, probably not going to happen for you there, Noam Dar, but, you know, you can keep believing. I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think of this storyline? I know we talked about with Bailey and Alicia that we're kind of past this for the women, but you don't see this a lot with the men, right? I mean, it's been a while. It's been a long while since we had the whole men fighting over a woman thing. I don't know. I mean, it's something for them to do, right? I mean...
You know, what do you think, Paul? You know, for me, this, we don't get this often in the WWE, and it's usually pretty hit or miss when they do it. The first segment they did, I wasn't a big fan of. The stuff they've done on 205 Live for them, though, I thought was good. Or, you know, at least better storytelling. What we got tonight was fine. You know, it's just, you're growing the feud here, which I really appreciate, and... Yeah, I mean, you're setting up Noam Dar to be a terrific heel, in my opinion, so.
You know what? I think Noam Dar works fine as a heel. He honestly kind of reminds me of the whole Neville thing. Because he can play that creep factor. He uses it to his advantage. And I want to go back to what you were saying about, you know, that we've been talking about that when we were past this, and the way they're treating Alicia Fox here. And, yeah, they're kind of using her as an object, like, oh, well, she's the prize, you know, she's the treasure, and I don't know, it's almost like you're an object, you're not a person, and I kind of think that's in a little gray area there, but at the end of the day, it works because they're actually having a few that maybe people can get into and understand and care about, besides them just saying, oh, this is for our respect, or this is just for bragging rights, or whatever. It's someone else involved, so I can appreciate that they're trying here.
Yeah, certainly. Like, you know, we mentioned that they're giving him something to do. So, it's not like, I mean, they could just have these guys out there doing nothing, right? And they're at least giving him something to do. So, that's always a plus. But, yeah, so moving from here, I think we also had the main title be involved here because Neville had cut a promo to kind of announce that he was back. He took the approach of, man, I sat there and punched Rich Swann in the mouth as soon as I return and took out your cruiserweight champion. Like it pretty much like it was nothing. He was kind of downplaying it, you know, and he is sort of putting him up there saying that, you know, he is the king of the cruiserweights and nobody gave him any credit for that or anything. We basically kind of had Neville be out here, then you had Rich Swann come out, then you had Brian Kendrick come out. Swann gets beat up, then TJP comes in, and basically you're setting up a tag match for 205 Live, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, it accomplished, you know, Neville getting out there, using the mic to explain what he's all about, why he's doing what he's doing, and hey, and there you go. I mean, that's what you kind of at the end of the night wanted to see, you know, get some explanations under your belt. Is this going to be something strong or something really great in the line? I don't know. I hope so. I hope it works in their favor. I just have my reservations. You know, I really do wonder how far Neville can take this thing. And, you know, in a positive light, I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's got, you know, some decent skills on the mic that I think he, you know, he has some good things going for him. But other than that, I mean, you just don't know. You're kind of left in the air of, you know, is he going to succeed or is he going to fall flat again? You know, so really curious about that.
I have a lot of high hopes for this. I think Neville brings something to the division that a lot of these other guys don't really have, and that's at least some time in the WWE, some experience, and a little bit of value to his name. And I don't know, the promo wasn't out of this world or anything, but it certainly got the point across, and I think that's really all you need. And if Neville can carve out and make this division into something, then it's going to help out a lot more guys than a lot of other things he could probably do on the roster, so...
Yeah, very true. And, you know, I hope we can all do our hair like he does. I'm going to have to start growing my hair out so I can have that long strand in front of my face.
I was wondering if he was ever going to, like, you know, push that back or something.
I know, man.
I guess it's part of the whole, oh, I got to look sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Have the thing on my face kind of thing. It's fine. So we did have a thing with the... we now have uniform-looking tag team titles, guys. They have upgraded from the pennies to the nickels or the dimes or quarters or whatever you want to coin references you want to make here. There are now Raw strapped, the red strap with the silver color. Do you like the whole that they've changed the titles? You no longer have the pennies anymore?
I thought Paul loved the pennies. You don't love the pennies?
The pennies were atrocious, Gary, and you know it.
So what you got? Do you really like these new titles?
I like them better than the penny belts. I'm not a big fan of the ones I have over on SmackDown either, but they certainly look better.
They're the same titles now.
You're right.
I completely agree, but I haven't really liked any of the tag team titles. Except for the ones they had when I first got into wrestling in the 90s.
Yes. I did like those SmackDown ones.
Those are all right, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to say I love Kofi's. Was it Kofi who said, hey, you got to wait till we didn't have the titles for y'all to get new titles? You know? So I just want to say that, you know, it's very unfair. But, you know, maybe New Day will hold those too soon.
Don't say it.
I'm not saying anything. I won't even imply it.
Okay. Because you know there's going to be people that are going to say that's what it was.
I know. I wanted to say it, but I said, you know what? I'm going to leave
whatever. Let's just
equation.
Say it's, you know,
racism.
Kofi, racism. It's
yep. It's can't not, hold new titles. Always got to hold the old rusty, you know, other ones. But no, the new titles go to the old PC
white
guys.
They're copper, Gary. They're going to rust easier. It's just how it is.
I know. I'm just trying to say, you know. Anyway, move on.
We ran out of jokes here, so let's move on. They did have a match with Sheamus and Cesaro and The New Day defeating The Club and The Shining Stars. Okay. They obviously don't have any kind of direction for what we're doing here. So let's just waste a couple weeks with. I think the direction is more of them sort of doing Team Hell No with Cesaro and Sheamus than it is about who are they going to face next.
I agree, and I honestly, to be honest, I completely hate these tie matches now. This is like telling me, hey Gary, so we're gonna have this giant tag team match on Raw in a few minutes. Go ahead and turn over to the Monday Night Football game for about 20 minutes, and you can turn back to Raw. That's what we want you to do. So go ahead, sir. And that's exactly what I'm
pretty decent.
These are decent, but they matter zero. And I don't know. I just hate them.
Especially when the shining stars are involved, they're just pieces of turd.
Yeah. This isn't like you're having like four quality tag teams in a match. This is like having a tag team that no one cares about and a tag team that Vince doesn't care about facing off against some fan favorites.
The two credible tag teams they have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the really rough part here is that the tag division over on Raw is pretty shallow because they've really focused on just making the New Day get the record, and it sort of made everybody else look like poop. So now you have to try to rebuild everybody, and this is sort of where we're going to be at for a while.
Ugh. We've descended into poop jokes.
Yeah.
We actually don't do those that often on here, so you people should be proud of us that we don't descend to that level all the time. Anyway, the last thing that we have not covered here, even though we sort of really talked about it a lot on the Roadblock review, so if you've listened to all three, first of all, thank you, and secondly, sorry if we kind of talk about sort of some similar things here, but... first of all, I want to say I really like the fact that Austin Aries gets to be on commentary on Raw. That's pretty cool. I did mention that during the 205 thing, but that's cool that he's getting to be on Raw for commentary. And, yeah, so the women here, Sasha basically comes out to, once again, give a lot of credit to Charlotte and all this stuff, and that, you know, it hurt her so bad to tap out and to lose and all that stuff, and then Nia Jax comes out and beats her, basically.
I mean, this was fine. I mean, actually, you know, this makes sense because, you know, you haven't seen anything of Nia Jax, and so, you know, you have her coming in basically easy pickings for Sasha Banks, and, you know, really, that's a really great heel move, right? Kick someone when they're down. And so here she is doing it. And, you know, she's a force to be reckoned with, too. Now, does she really need to pick on somebody with an injury? Not really. She should be able to go take on anybody as healthy as they want to be. But, you know, she's trying to get herself in this position of, you know, hey, you know, you're supposed to hate me, dislike me, and, you know. So I'm okay with this. I really don't have a problem. You know, at least she's doing something, you know.
You know, here's the thing. We knew going forward after Charlotte and Sasha got done with their thing that Bayley and Nia were going to be up next to feud with either one of them. And it really just depended on who walked out with the title. So now you have the setup between, you know, you can finally go forward with Bayley and Charlotte, which they've been building on for a while. And now you have Nia step up to Sasha. And Nia and Sasha's a fresh matchup. I'm really interested to see what they can do with each other. I think Charlotte and Bayley's guaranteed to do some good work. And I don't know. This is where it gets interesting now, is finally moving away from trying to make Charlotte and Sasha into something and trying to build all the rest of the division.
Yeah. We talked about this already, but they really need to build up other people. Besides Sasha and Charlotte, they've done a great job building up Sasha and Charlotte to make them look like equals. So now, when you have a secondary, few people care. Nia Jax, I think, is a perfect sort of foil for Sasha. People care about her. she's injured, so Nia got to look like, you know, uber, what a crime. She's sitting there. I'm trying to avoid using the word we always use for this kind of thing. But, yeah, Nia looks terrible here. Not terrible in a bad way, terrible in a, just from a character perspective. And, you know, hopefully you care more about Sasha because of this. The other one, of course, being the what we pretty much thought was going to happen was the next feud will be Bayley versus Charlotte. Charlotte comes out to talk about how great she is, basically. She's 4-time women's champion, blah, blah, blah. Bayley comes out and pretty much just says, hey, look, the Sasha-Charlotte thing was great. Now it's time to start the Charlotte and Bayley thing. And hey, if you don't remember, I'm 2-0 against you. So, you know, and Bayley, they kind of have a thing. They have another match, and Bayley is now 3-0 against Charlotte. So now Charlotte has to take her seriously.
You know, I think at the end of the day, this was going to happen. You know, we kind of found that eventually you were going to have, you know, the super baby face, which is, of course, Bayley, face off against the Ultimate Heel, which is Charlotte. And that was going to happen, you know, in the near future. I didn't really know if it was going to happen this quickly. Is it a bad thing? No, I think it's fine. I think both of them do a good job. I think that, you know, I've said this time and time again, Charlotte's so great on the mic. She can tell a whole story and really get you behind it. And, you know, Bayley's getting better. Nothing wrong with her stuff. So I appreciated this. I think the match was kind of, it was good for what it was worth. And, you know, to get Bayley the win to prove that, hey, she deserves a, you know, shot at the women's title is great. And I think it makes sense. And they're actually using more than two women. So that helps this division. And I think that's a good thing.
All right. So that's going to cover everything on Raw, I think. So the last thing we need to do is give it a rating.
For myself, I actually really enjoyed this Raw. I know there was lots of moments where there was lots of talking. They had sketches. They had all these different things going on with some good matches. And I appreciated most of this. And I you know, maybe I'm going to rank this higher than anyone else does, but I'm going to give this an 8. I really enjoyed myself.
I think they did some nice character development as far as, we kind of, for some of you, we know what you're doing. For some of you, we don't know what you're doing. And for some of you, you're continuing on what you were already doing. You know, none of the matches were anything you really need to watch, let's be honest. I think you should definitely watch this for Braun Strowman. His segments, he was kind of the star of the show, basically. I'll give this a 6. I didn't really, you know, I don't know. That's I'm just going there.
I got about as much out of this as I did out of Roadblock, so 6.5.
Fair enough. All right. Maybe I fell in love with Enzo Amore all over again or something. But you know, I think some of the comedy helped my rating. I think, and but you know, overall, understandable for sure. All right, guys. Well, that is Monday Night Raw. Of course, don't forget to go check out the W2M Network and W2Mnet.com. Those are some great places you need to check out if you haven't already. Well, that takes up the rest of our show. So until next time, if you're not living life to the max,
not living life at all,
you know it.
Please.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.